So I feel like I haven't been here in forever. It's pretty awesome to be back. I just got back from Colombia on Monday morning. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it because it was kind of crazy. So I was going down there to speak at a conference for people who go into prisons and minister there. And most of these people had been in prison, got saved, got out of prison, and now go back into prison to minister to prisoners. So it's kind of this weird thing. Good move. And so I went down there with a couple of guys from here and an old pastor from here, Doug Goins. Some of you guys might know him. And we all went down there. And we were teaching through the book of Colossians, which is the book right after Philippians, I believe, that we're talking about. And so we go down there, and it was cool. The one thing I love about Latin America is this. Everything's just so laid back. So we get there, we had like a day or half a day to just kind of hang out before we went out to this retreat center out in the middle of nowhere up in the foothills where all the terrorist guerrilla soldiers live. And so we're just hanging out, and we find out this is like the conference is supposed to start. We left on Tuesday. We flew all day, got there at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. Stayed the night at a hotel there, and then hung out all day. And it was supposed to start Wednesday afternoon and go through Saturday, and then we were leaving Sunday. So we get there, and we're hanging out Wednesday in the morning, and we find out all of a sudden that Thursday, the next day, is a national holiday. So they decided to move the conference from Wednesday to Thursday at the very last minute. And that never happens here. Like, you don't move a whole conference, you know, a day. So they move it like last minute to Thursday to Sunday. We already had plane tickets on Sunday to leave early in the morning. So what we were going to teach in 3 days, we had to teach in 2 days. So we taught through the entire book of Colossians in 2 days. And there was 12 sections. There were four of us. Each of us taught three. And they were an hour long each. So that's 12 hours in 2 days of us teaching Colossians. And how it works is, you know, because we're in Colombia, so I say, you know, Jesus is awesome, and then the guy right here says, Jesus está muy bien, or, you know, whatever, and then I say something, and then he tries to translate it, and then I say something, and he tries to translate it, and it goes like that for an hour long, and imagine that, you know, like, I always speak for an hour anyways, or two or three maybe today, but imagine if I was saying, and then there was this pause, and then you finally knew what I was saying, and then I said something. We might try that someday. That'd be cool. So we go down there, and we teach through that, and so we'd literally have 5 hours straight where we're just teaching back-to-back through the book of Colossians. And so, like, they'd have one five-minute stretch break, like, 2 or 3 hours into it, and then we'd go right back into it. And it was just this insane thing. And could you imagine just sitting there listening to me teach through the entire book of Colossians? Like, me and Powers tag-teaming back and forth for 5 straight hours, and then have a lunch break, and then go 2 more hours, and then the next day do it all over again? Would that be the greatest thing ever, or what? Maybe we'll just, CJ thinks so. Maybe we'll just do intensive days like that, where we'll do like a whole book of the Bible in 2 days. Huh? Be honest, when do you guys show up? Yes. Yes. We have the makings of our own 2-day entire book of the Bible conference. I like it. Invite your friends, especially your non-saved ones who would love to listen to the Bible that long. So anyways, we get there and we're eating things like a lot of the stuff I didn't know what it was and didn't care to ask, but some of it you could tell. And so I ate things like chicken feet and chicken liver and chicken necks and whole chicken hearts that you just kind of pop in your mouth like peanut M&Ms or something. Yeah. So we're eating. I don't know what happened to any of the good parts of the chicken. We never saw them. We saw, I think they like cut the feet off and the neck off and the hearts out and like all the internal organs and be like, ooh, this is the good stuff. Let's put it all in one soup and then get rid of all that meat of, you know, the breast and the leg and stuff. I never saw any of it. I don't know what happened to it. Maybe they gave it to the dogs or something. I don't know. So anyways, that's the kind of stuff we were eating, and we're at this retreat center. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, like an hour and a half outside of the city, and there's this barbed wire fence all the way around it. But we're up at the foothills, And so, the people from Colombia thought it'd be really funny if they would, because there's the FARC is down there, and what that is a communist terrorist group that, is against the government, and so they're in a constant war with the government, and so they live in the jungles and they just do their thing and fight with the government. And so they like to, one of their favorite practices is to kidnap Americans and then hold them for ransom so they can get money to fund their, terrorism. So the Colombian side would be funny if they told us, oh yeah, you better be careful because like from 10 p.m. to midnight, the FARC likes to go out and look for Americans. And we're like, ha. Funny, funny. And we're right at the foothills, and you can see like the jungle up there, and you see little lights up in there that in my mind, it's like, man, I'm sure that that's like a campfire from some terrorist guerrilla group that are roasting a pig up there or something. Just the internal organs, not the actual meat of the pig, because you don't eat that down there. So it went really well. One of the very cool things about this trip is we were, teaching through Colossians, and I hadn't really taught through Colossians before. But some of the cool thing, like some of those passages in the Bible, and you're just like, there is no way that this is ever going to apply to anybody ever. Well, it was cool because a lot of those things are the things that exactly apply to them. And so they're talking about like this guy, Doug Goins, is teaching on false teachers, and this guy like interrupts him. And he just goes off, and he's going a million miles an hour. And we're just like, oh crap! Did Doug say some heresy, or is this guy just like pissed off, or what's going on? Dang it. You might have to put explicit lyrics on this now. On the podcast. Never mind. Anyways, we're like, what is going on? And so finally the translator does a little reverse translation into American, and he's like, this guy has a question. And Doug's like, all right, well, what is it? And he's like, well, he ministers in this prison, and the guards sacrifice a pig to this idol. And then they cut up the meat and cook it, and then they feed it to the prisoners. Are the prisoners allowed to eat it? And we're like, seriously? Does that ever really come up? Because the Bible talks about, it's okay to eat food sacrificed to idol unless it's going to make your brother stumble, then don't do it. But it has no power, so that's not a big deal. So you're just like, the Bible really works. Like, the Bible really does have some sort of application. And for the first time in my life, just kidding. But it was cool. It was cool to see the Bible work in ways that you just never kind of anticipated. I never expected to get a question asked, is it okay to eat food sacrificed to idols? Any of your friends ever ask you that? And then this one guy in Spanish, he goes, yeah, I picked this up through my incredible Spanish abilities. He was saying, yeah, and the translator too, but. He's like, my friend, his enemy tried to place this curse on him, and so he like built this altar on his doorstep and made this like sacrifice and like tied a chicken to it, and
A live one or like
like a live one for a curse, and he was trying to curse him, and everybody's like, you see everybody's faces drop, like this stuff happens, and everybody's like, oh, like what did he do? And I was like, ¿Qué pasa? What? And that doesn't mean anything relevant to this. But anyway, so he's like, you know what he did? He's like, he cleaned up the altar, and then he took the chicken and he cooked it and he ate it. And you're just like, seriously? Like, if I found a little altar on my doorstep with a live chicken tied to it, don't even think about it. I think I'd freak out. But he just kind of like swept it up, threw it away, took the chicken, plucked it, cut its neck and its feet off and ate those, and threw away the rest of the chicken. But it's kind of cool. I got pretty sick at the end of the trip, and I was, I had a high fever, and I was throwing up and cold sweats, and my body was just hurting, and I started hallucinating. It's not funny, dude. Don't laugh at that. Because it was trippy, because I saw some, like, it was just really weird. It's weird because you're in the middle of nowhere, and it's raining, and rained the whole time. And so it's just like dark in the middle of the day, and it's just raining, and I'm sick, and there's no hospitals or other people anywhere like near us, and we're just like, oh man. So I'm just like, just trying to like rest, but I couldn't sleep. So I kept seeing different things. The first thing I saw was there were spiders crawling all over my face. I hate spiders. I hate spiders. I got bit by a spider once, and I was bedbound for 2.5 weeks. I hate spiders. So anyways, there's. Yeah, I hope. I don't know. I think. I'm pretty sure. Because I kept hallucinating. And then I hallucinated that this, like, dark figure was trying to make me eat this, like, putrid stuff. I don't know what it was, but it was just, like, it was rank. It was nasty. It was like this gooey, semi-solid, brownish, reddish stuff that he kept trying to make me eat. And it was nasty. What? Oh, no. Not beans. It was like slimy and gooey. Yes, probably some chicken inside something or other. I don't know. And then like, and one of them was there was so we slept. The four of us were in the same room, and there's bunk beds. And my bed had this like it kind of went like this. So my head looked like my head was down here on this end. It kind of went like this, and then it went like this, and then like this again. And so I had this big like ravine in my bed, but it was bunk beds, and I was sleeping on top. And there was another one here, and I hallucinated. I guess that there was these four dark figures that were standing at each corner of the bed and just shaking it violently. And I'm like on the top bunk, like freaking out, right? Just like crazy. And then the last one that I remember that I had was that this dark figure came with Allison and then killed her. That's her small group laughing. Dang. But it was really freaking, so I was really sick. And then the Colombians, God bless them, thought it would be great. This is the night before we were leaving, and we had to get up at 5 o'clock, which is like 2 o'clock here this time. And so we had to get up and go to the airport. But at 12:30, like I'm super sick and hallucinating, throwing up and everything. And Colombians thought it would be a great idea to stand outside our door and to knock and then start singing as loudly as possible for 2 straight hours at 12:30 at night. So they sang from like 12:30 to 2 a.m. outside of our door because they wanted to serenade us as a thank you for coming. So they must have hated us because it was horrible. But anyways, got back, went to the hospital, had blood tests and stuff done here, and kind of still waiting to figure out what happened. So, anyways, it was a cool trip. It was cool to see the Bible work in ways, you know, that I haven't seen it work before. And it was cool to, you know, just, I don't know, just be down there and really awesome people. Let me tell you about a couple of the people real quick. One guy, he came up from Mexico. He got saved in a prison in Mexico, and he's part of the ministry now. And he came up. His name's Naum, and in the prison in Mexico, they used to call him Damien, which means demon. And he used to be this like wicked guy, and he ran the biggest prison in Mexico. It's in Mexico City. He ran it as a prisoner from the inside, and he got, you know how prisons have like a maximum security? Well, they have a maximum security, and that's where he was, and he ended up getting saved in maximum security. He was just a bad dude, and he you name it, and he did it, you know, drugs, killing, I mean, you name it, and he did it. And he gave his testimony one night, and I didn't really understand very much of it at all. But he got saved in prison through this ministry, and so now he's this big part. And it's funny, because he's about this tall, and he's not fat, but he's, you know, he's a stout, solid guy, and he's about this tall. And one night, this band just randomly showed up, just out of nowhere. Nobody knew they were coming. They just showed up and started playing in the middle of nowhere at this retreat center. And so the band leader was this dad. It was a family, and it was the dad. And he was playing an accordion, and he had 5 volunteers come up, and Alan was one of them. And so he's making them do all these like chicken dances. So they're like dancing like, so I'm taking pictures of Naum, right? And I'm like, man, I have pictures of this guy that would make anybody in prison a shame that they were ever scared of him. Like he's like this and like this, and you're just like, seriously, this guy was like a hardcore murderer, and he was in maximum security prison. He got out on good behavior because he got saved, and everybody was like, this is crazy. Like, he became a Christian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He became a Christian, And he got out on good behavior for maximum security. I think he had a couple, two or three life sentences, and just crazy. Yeah, two or three life sentences. Because he was a bad dude, man. So another guy was he was the head hitman of the FARC, the communist group. He was their head hitman, and he got shot and got injured and got put in prison and then got saved in prison and is now. And a lot of these guys are still like on wanted lists from the terrorist groups and things like that. So it was just really cool, and a lot of them are just sold out for Christ. And one guy, he got shot in the face, and which is my camera just opened. He got shot in the face right here, and it's still stuck right here, and you can feel it. And he was just just tripped out on acid and got in a fight with somebody in the FARC and got shot, and they left him for dead, and he didn't die, and got put in prison, got saved in prison, got out of prison, and now goes back into prison to minister. And he's just telling the story, man, and he's like, man, drugs just do wicked stuff to you. Like, I don't know. I'd love to bring that guy up here just to talk about drugs with us, because it's crazy, but none of us would understand him, so I won't do it. But anyways, it was a good trip to Colombia, and I'm glad to be back, though, and good to see you guys. Let's pray, and then we can actually get started. Dear God, thank you for this morning, and thank you for this time that we have to come together and to hear from you, your word, God. Thank you for showing me just the power of your word down in Colombia, and just how much it really transformed people's lives. And God, I pray that it would do the same for us here. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when I was a kid, I was, I'm not, this is going to sound like bragging, and it is, but it's deserved. I was like the king of lawn mowing. Does anybody even mow lawns anymore? Does anybody here mow lawns? So three teenagers in Conrad mow lawns still. Everybody else has like gardeners or no lawn. Yeah. So anyways, back in the day when I was a kid, everybody used to mow their own lawn. Or not everybody, but a lot of people did. And I was the king of lawn mowing. I remember the very first time I mowed a lawn, we had this little like doughboy pool that stood like this tall, and we were pumping it out. And so there was a pump in it pumping water out, and an extension cord going across, and I didn't see it and ran it over and shocked the snot out of me. Scared me to death. So I kind of took a break that day, and then I was still too young. I couldn't start it by myself, start the lawnmower. It was too, I hadn't been working out yet, and I was still little. I was probably like 4 or 5, I don't know, or 12. But I couldn't start the lawnmower. They were harder to start back then, and don't even, you guys don't even use lawnmowers. You don't know how hard they are to start, except for Chris. All right. So anyways, later on that day, I go to finish the front yard, and my dad starts it for me, and he has to go to the hardware store. He's like, just finish up and then put it in the bag. Well, about 3/4 of the way through the yard, the lawnmower dies, and I'm like, all right. I'm like, get pumped up, and I'm like, gotta man up and start this lawnmower. So I'm like pulling it as hard as I can, two-handed pulls, and like, doing everything I can to get it started. I can't get it started, and I'm like, dang it. So I go get this brilliant idea, and I go in the house, and I get a pair of scissors, and I'm like, because I was embarrassed that I couldn't, start the lawnmower. My dad wasn't there to start it for me, and I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell my dad, So I'm like, I'm gonna cut the lawn with scissors. And just the rest of it, like I've done 3/4 of it already, but the rest of it, I'm gonna do with scissors. So I get down on my hands and knees, and I'm like cutting. And like 45 minutes later, I look back to like what I've done, like all that I've done, and it was about this much of lawn. And I was like, oh man, this is not gonna work. So finally, my dad came back, and I was all embarrassed, but he started it, and I finished it. But I learned the perfect technique on how to get the straightest lines. Because that was the thing, right? Me and all my buddies would be like, who can get the nicest looking lawn, the straightest lines? So I used to like Yeah, we were nerds back then, I know. We didn't have Xbox and whatnot, and gardeners. So anyways, I used to watch like the back tire, right? And I'd go all the way, you know, and then I'd turn around and look back and it's this wobbly line. And you're like, dang it, this is embarrassing. So I finally figured out, and here's the key. If you ever have to mow a lawn, here, this is for you. This is for you. Here's how you get the straightest lines. You know, you don't watch the tires and try to line up the tires with the line that you already have. Here's how you do it. Pick a point at the far end, and you just look at that. And you just push it, and you look at that. And then you turn around. So straight. So it's beautiful. I mean, seriously, you guys all need to find a neighbor that doesn't have a gardener. Say, I'd like to mow your lawn one time. Do one line where you're looking at the thing, you know, the tire here. Turn around, it's gonna be all wobbly. And then do one where you're looking off at a point down there and just shooting for that and go. And it's beautiful. You get goosebumps. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Somebody, anybody? Are you with me? Huh? Huh? All right. Well, mine was super long, probably like 2 miles. But that's what we're going to be talking about today, so keep that in mind. No, mowing lawns. Here, we're in Philippians still. We're almost done. We got today and one more week, and then we're done with the whole book of Philippians, you know, which is kind of embarrassing because it's taking us 6 weeks. So next time we'll do it in 2 days. It'll be sweet. If you got a Bible, open it up. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 17. All right, Philippians 3. Dan's passing out hymnals. If you got a hymnal, you got to sing a song from it. All right, starting in verse 17, it sounds like this. Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. Who wrote Philippians again? Philippi and Philip. Paul. Jacob. Corin. Jesus. Probably not. I don't know. I'm not sure yet. Paul wrote this. Where's Paul when he's writing this? He's in jail. I like the guys in Colombia. Huh? No. What? Oh, no. I hope not.
I just imagine Doug like putting on a cloak and being.
Probably was Doug. Dang it. All right. So we got Paul writing this from prison, and he's talking to the church in Philippi.
What's the verse?
Verse 17, 3:17. Join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. What's the pattern? What's he talking about? He's talking about forgetting what's behind, forgetting all that stuff, and moving on, and pressing on forward. So he says, follow my example in that. Forget what's behind and let's move forward. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. So he's talking about, in this first part here, he's talking about he's talking about, where's your focus? And he says, you know what? There's a lot of people out there. And you're going to see this. There's a lot of people out there that are focused on earthly things. He says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Not that they're enemies of Christ, actually, but they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Anybody got any ideas what that means? What does it mean to be an enemy of the cross of Christ? Yeah, me neither. All right, let's move on. No, I'm just kidding. Shut up. Here's what it means. There's a lot of people out there. A lot of people out there that aren't willing to be part of the suffering of Christ. There's a lot of people out there that are out there for their own comfort. Thank you. There's a lot of people out there that earthly things are the most important thing ever. Whether it be money or friends or toys or being the best lawnmower ever, which some of us in the room struggle with. But there's a lot of people out there that focus on earthly things. It says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not willing to partake in that suffering. It says their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach and their glory is in their shame. The things that they're most proud about, things that they take the most pride in, those are the things that are shameful to God. You know? It says their God is their stomach. It means they just want to feed themselves. It's all about them. And he says there's a lot of people like that, and they're going towards destruction. You know, they're going to get to the end of the line, turn around and look back, and that line's going to be crooked. And it's going to be a little more than embarrassing for these guys. But he says, but our citizenship's in heaven. So he's saying there's a lot of people out there who are focused on the here and now and the things that we have and the things that we do. And that's what's important to them. But then there's also a lot of us here in this room where the things that are most important to us are the things of heaven. Our focus is not on the here and now. Our focus isn't on the stuff that we have. Our focus is above in heaven. It talks about this in Colossians that we taught through in Columbia too a lot. And he says... he says we eagerly await a Savior from heaven. So our focus is on heaven, and we're waiting for Christ. We're looking up at heaven, and we're looking to Christ. You know, how do we guide our lives? We look to Christ. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for Christ to come back. And that's the things that are most important to us. It's not necessarily the things, you know, of this world. Even though some of that stuff is important, and it's okay for it to be important, but Paul's saying the most important thing is Christ and that we keep our focus there. And he says at chapter 4, verse 1, he said, that's how you should stand firm in the Lord. And he's saying, you know what? You have a choice. You can focus on this life. You can focus on earthly things. You can set your mind on earthly things. But it's not going to get you anywhere. Or you can set your mind on the things above. You can look for Christ. And look at heavenly things. And let that be your focus. And it's going to get you somewhere. It's like this. When you're looking at the here and now, you're looking right in front of you. When you're pushing that lawnmower of life, pushing that lawnmower of life, and you're looking here, you're going to get to the end, and you're going to find out it's not what you wanted it to be. It wasn't all it was cracked up to be. Your line's going to be crooked. Or you can keep your head up, set your mind on heaven, And when you turn around at the end and you look at your life, you're going to find out your life had meaning, your life had purpose. And God did amazing things in you and through you in the lives of other people. That's what he's saying here. He's saying we press on towards that goal. We forget about the things that we've already done. All that time that we've already focused on the here and now, we've been looking at the wheel, trying to line things up. And our line's been crooked so far. He says, we forget about that. Get your head up and look at Christ. Make that your focus. And that's a hard thing to do. Now check it out. In chapter 4, starting in verse 2, you go a little further and talk a little bit more. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I don't laugh because you don't have it open. It's hard. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, whatever that is, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And so, he gives this practical example, right? He's like, have you ever been in an argument with somebody? Have you ever been mad at somebody? He's like, never? Oh. Well, somebody maybe. There's these two ladies in the church and they're arguing, and he says, you guys need to agree with each other. And here's the deal. With arguing, there's some sort of anxiety going on, right? There's some sort of quarrel going on. There's disharmony that's going on, you know, between two people. And he's saying, here's the deal. Unity in the body of Christ is important. Here's how you do it. You set your mind on the things of heaven. Because the things of earth, they don't matter nearly as much. And he says, rejoice in the Lord. You know, God's got things under control. Set your minds on him and rejoice in him. He says it twice. I will say it again. Rejoice. Then he says, be gentle with one another. You know, if you've ever been in an argument or in a fight, you know, here's how God would want us to handle it. He says, be gentle. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, I mean, maybe probably not you guys in here, but some ladies can be very, very biting and sharp, you know what I'm saying? No? No? Guys just punch each other. But ladies are kind of like vicious. Not you guys, but some can be sometimes. And he says, be gentle with each other. Save that biting comment. Bite your tongue if you're going to bite something, you know? And he says, don't worry about these things. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about these things here on earth. He says, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. He says, go to God with it. Pray and go to God with whatever problems you're having. And he says, God will deliver. God will deliver peace. Transcends all understanding. And then here it is. He caps it off. You know, he's saying, he's got this message. He's like, some people focus here now on the earthly things, on the wheel of the lawnmower, and their life doesn't line up. And some people focus, you know, on the things above. They look out and their line's gonna going to be straight. And he says, it all depends on where your mind is. Is your mind on the earthly things? Let me ask you this, you here in this room right now. Let me ask you this. You don't have to answer out loud. Answer to yourself in your head in Spanish. Do you spend more time worrying about the things of this earth? What am I going to wear? Is somebody going to like me? Am I going to be able to get whatever? Or do you, here in this room, it's time to answer in French, spend more time thinking about the things that matter to God? My friends aren't saved. God, please save them. God, I want to know your love for me more. Please show me. God, I want to know how to live how you want me to live. God, I want to minister to the people you want me to minister to, so please bring somebody in my life so I can tell them the good news of your gospel, or so I can love them in some way. I got to tell you, when I read this and I was thinking about this, I was convicted. Because I spend, I think, more time worrying about things here. And I'm a pastor. It's my job to worry about heavenly things. But here's what Paul's saying. He's saying this. To be where God wants you to be, it requires you to shift your focus from being down in front of you at the here and now, and to pick your head up and look at heavenly things. And the way to do this is this, the end of this passage right here. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, true. That's a tough word nowadays, huh? True. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And so often we get caught up in thinking about negative things. Oh, you know, she such a little hussy. Oh, he's do you guys, do not say hussy anymore. Oh, definitely explicit lyrics. Oh, is he, you know, he's just a big jerk. Or, you know. But Paul's saying it requires this shift in how we think. It requires this shift. We got to think about things that are true. Things that are true are found here. Got to think about things that are right, that are lovely, admirable, all these things. So when I read this passage, and you know, I was thinking about what is this, you know, what does this mean for me? What does this mean for you guys? You know, I think I've told you guys this before. You guys do an excellent job of welcoming new people and loving each other. I think you guys do an excellent job at that. I think my failure here in this group is that I haven't given us opportunities to put these things into practice kind of outside of this room enough. And you know what happens when we do that is that we become inward focused. We start to look at ourselves, and I think, you know, that's my fault. That's not your guys' fault. But I think that we need to sort of branch out and not be inward focused. And I think that we need to pick our heads up and to look at the things that matter to God. And the things that matter to God are, do we love God, and do we do a good job of loving the people around us? And I think we do here. But I think we could do a better job outside of here, and that's my fault. But I want to take us that way, and I think we should go that way, and I want to hear from you guys. Maybe not right now, but I want to hear from you guys. Is that something you guys think, you know, is a good thing? Is that something you guys would get behind? So that's something we can do here as a group. As for us as individuals, you know, we just need to remember the things that matter to us the very most need to be the things that matter to God. God wants us to love the people around us. God wants us to love Him. So, am I doing that? You need to ask yourself that, and I need to ask myself that. I'm going to pray, and I got a couple of announcements, and then we'll be good to go. So, God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way that it speaks into my life and hopefully in the lives of some of the people in here, God. And, God, it definitely does change me and make me think about who I am. So, God, I pray that you would give us the wisdom to follow you and the boldness and the courage to follow you also, God. And, thank you for your love for us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.